You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 25 October, Japanese CPI earlier this morning, 1.8% year-on-year, down from 2.2%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skull Glow from PSG Old Oak. Strong Eclipse results, we expect nothing less. Cashboard, not a bad update. Anglo Platinum, update from them, but really I think the story was Palladium that broke through 1,100. Quinton Rossi from Spear REIT. Good H1 results, occupancies, but even that as costs are rising. Thoughts for me, not panicking when long-term investments have short-term stumbles. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Massive Sasol petrochemical plant faces serious challenges. The Secunda complex is the world's largest single-point emitter of carbon dioxide emissions, and converting it to use sustainable feedstock is not economically viable. Apparently, 1 trillion rand in costs. News 24, talk of Russian palladium sanctions trigger monster mining rally on the JSE. It was a giant day yesterday for PGMs. Morning markets, US is green, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ is 0.8% higher. The East is mostly green. We've got Sydney up 0.1%, Tokyo is down 1%, Hong Kong higher by 1.2%, Tencent up 0.3%. Commodities are, well, they're all over the place. Gold unchanged, 2,738. Brent a little bit lower, 74.55. Platinum a little lower, 1,025. Palladium higher at $1,143 an ounce. Rand 17.68. Bitcoin 68,100. Top 40 opening call, red open expected, 160 points or 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Skulk Lowe, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, always appreciate the early morning time. The Eclipse results, I mean, I said in the intro there, we expect nothing less from them. They've got one of the few charts that if you zoom out 5 years, man, you can't really see the pandemic. It just goes bottom left, top right. We get great operational leverage coming through. Eclipse is a machine.
Yeah, no, that's the one that got away from me.
No, me too.
I mean, every single year, I think, no, that's just too rich for my liking. And I wonder, you know, if I can't get the share price a little bit lower. But as you just mentioned, refer to the share growth. I mean, it just keep on going up. And it's just a company that's been managed very, very well. I mean, and again, looking at yesterday's annual results, they already mentioned, again, you know, the expansions they've made, expanded 936 stores, you know, 720 pharmacies. I mean, that is massive, massive. And the amount of stores they, again, planning to open, targeting, you know, 40 to 50 new stores and pharmacies for the next year of 2025. I mean, I just love this company. Like I said, very, very sad that I'm not in it.
I'm not in it. I keep on missing. It's got, what, 12 Rand of it's just always expensive, but that's just it. It has been expensive since forever. I mean, surely we just close our eyes and buy it. Was that foolhardy?
Yeah, it's one of those quality companies, Simon. Definitely one of those quality companies.
Cashboard, I got to say, numbers came out, update for first quarter. In what's a tough environment? I mean, they're growing South Africa up 6%. Much of that, some of that is new growth. I thought, all things considered, not bad. This is a tough environment out there, and they're kind of doing okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, this cash pulled. Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, if we refer to the revenue, very similar to a lot of companies that's reported lately, when the revenues are sort of a bit under pressure or flattish, and you can see the earnings not looking too bad. But why I say it's an interesting story, because it was sort of a company that grew all right in 2019, and then 2020 hit. Mm-hmm. And while we were sitting hard lockdown, it's as if everybody just realized we need to do some maintenance. Yeah. And everybody did maintenance. Cashpool did extremely well, and since then struggled. And I just get the feeling, I wonder if we don't have some of these moms and pops saying, well, it's time to do the maintenance again. We haven't done it in 4 years. Time to go back to cash build.
We haven't done it in 4 years. It also, lower rates should, I mean, it's going to take some time, but we should start seeing some yeah. home sales going through. You buy a new home, first thing you're going to do is want to paint it, want to make it pretty. Over the next couple of years, they could hold quite nicely.
Yeah, there's a definite correlation between new home sales, or home sales in general, and lower, interest rate environments. So yeah, I do agree with you. I think with the next cycle we're going into, we've just seen CPI figures that came out, yeah. definitely supporting. This are maybe looking at 0.5% and not only 0.25%, but let's see. Be that as it may, we're in a declining interest rate environment. That should support something like a cash build.
Yeah, and from your lips to the governor's ears, 0.5%, please. Anglo Platinum production update for the third quarter. A mixed bag, but I think the market didn't really care. It was all around palladium, which had a stellar day on reports of sanctions on Russian palladium. I mean, at some point, I mean, Wayne McCurry will remind you 100 times, at some point, this cycle turns. At the bottom, it never feels like it will. Is this a turn or is that too brave a call?
Firstly, my crystal ball is the murkiest of murky at the best of days. So, I mean, I can only say what I'm looking at. When you look something like palladium, I mean, palladium, March 2022 was trading over $3,000 per ounce. Yesterday reached a 2024 high, and like I said, close $1,100. So we're still trading more or less a third of the levels we've seen 2 years ago. Would we see those $3,000? I think that's maybe stretching it. But do I think we're sitting in an environment where these precious metals, I'm going to include the likes of platinum, I'm going to include the rhodiums.
Yeah.
These metals have come down purely on the back on people were sort of forecasting we're not going to see combustion engines anymore, and there's going to be solely electric vehicles. We've seen from the Platinum Council last year that they were running at a deficit, meaning that there was a way bigger demand than supply. This year they're forecasting an even bigger deficit. Then when you get a day like yesterday, when the US come out and say, well, we're going to speak to the other G7 countries and we're going to ask them to put further sanctions on Russia in terms of palladium. This is massive, not only for the platinum, palladium, rhodium market. This is massive for South Africa. Because when you look at palladium, yeah. We're the second largest producer in the world. We're the largest producer of platinum. In each case, Russia is largest and second largest. You strip out Russia, man, this is going to be good. Good for the likes of Amplats, good for the likes of Sibanye, Impala, Northam, and definitely good for the likes of the South African economy and our currency. So, yeah, it's good.
That's what we saw, 21, when it was at those multi-thousand levels. Not only did Iran get stronger, but, I mean, Treasury was getting, an extra $150 billion a year in taxes. Thank you very much. So, yeah, let's hope. We'll leave it there. Skulklo, PSG, Old Oak. And that's our question today. LinkedIn and Twitter. Those PGMs bouncing. Bouncing isn't even close. They were jumping. They were leaping. Is this the beginning of a PGM run? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Quentin Rossi, CEO at Spear REIT. Results 6 months ending August. Revenue up 5.4%. HEPS off just over 3%. Distribution up 2% and a little. NAV 11.74 versus a closing price yesterday of R9.70. Quentin, appreciate the early morning time. You talk around positive leasing momentum as a hallmark of the half year for 2025 financial year. How are vacancy levels and rent reversions coming through in the six-month period?
Morning, Simon, and morning to your listeners. Simon, I think for the six-month period, we've seen positive momentum, and I'm very pleased because coming out of COVID, this is probably the first half year that all of our subsectoral investment assets have made a contribution towards the performance in the half year, despite the higher for longer interest rates, despite operating cost creep and some kind of challenges with regard to the environmental impact in Cape Town. But the leasing momentum has certainly picked up. I mean, Cape Town is buzzing. It's becoming a 12-month-of-a-year city, and I think that we're set to benefit across our asset types as a result.
You're braver than me. Those Cape Town winters still scare me. How's office? You signed some big office deals. And when we chatted, it would have been 6 months ago with your financial year 24 results, you were saying, you know what, office is it's hard, but it's certainly looking better. And you signed some big deals.
Yeah, quite right. I mean, we've seen almost a 10,000 square meter reduction in our office vacancies from the end of the last financial year to the end of this interim reporting period. Mm-hmm. And that's largely driven by a strong return to office momentum across the public and private sector. Also, given the consistent semigration trend that's taking place in Cape Town. And I think also a big contributor to that has been just the coming out of a free and fair election. A lot of people were sitting on the kind of fences, not wanting to commit pre the elections. And I don't think we could have asked for a better outcome for South Africa. We saw governance continuity in the Western Cape with under Premier Alan Windey. Mm-hmm. And that sense of optimism was just again reinforced by a contraction in bond yields, in addition to 200 plus days without load shedding. And these are the things that have, I think, around investment committee tables, companies are saying, well, you know what, let's push ahead with that CapEx. Let's push ahead with that expansion plan. Let's push ahead with doubling our headcount or increasing our headcount. And the BPO sector, the fintech sector, the online sector, the renewable energy sector, all of these companies, when they're choosing a place to put down their flags, Cape Town is ultimately their first choice. And it's first choice from a real estate perspective, but it's also first choice from a municipal perspective, from an environmental perspective. And it's a beautiful city. Who would not want to have their offices in Cape Town?
No, agreed on that point. You mentioned cost creep there. That is a function of certainly the inflation. I know that we got a nice 3.8% for September, but it's been expensive out there. We've got the higher rates. But you kind of managed it. You call it creep rather than sort of run away. You seem to be on top of it. And has it sort of lessened in the, almost 2 months since the period end?
Yeah, I think you know, there's nothing that's passive about real estate, and we have to be maniacal in terms of every line item on that income statement. Mm. And our chief operations officer Cliff Tureen made the point the other day to say that, you know, with our regional focus, doesn't just give us exposure to high quality Western Cape assets, but what it does, it allows us to really on a granular level, you know, have those deep relationships with suppliers, have those and also the negotiation power in terms of economies of scale, to be able to try and do whatever we can to drive down the cost creep. But when it comes to, I think, the biggest contributor to cost creep in our portfolio would be the office portfolio. And that's purely because office buildings are expensive to run. They're expensive to manage because you've got lifts, you've got central air conditioning systems, you've got all these other multiple functions that you need to provide as a landlord in order to keep your tenants happy, to keep your rentals growing, and ultimately to try and build your net property income.
How's the George development doing? If memory serves you, you started doing the bulk infrastructure, about a year ago. Your intention, and you say quite clearly, not to take speculative development risk. Where are you in the George process?
So we are at the back end now of our civils infrastructure process. Mm-hmm. We did phase the infrastructure in two phases, one which was the bulk infrastructure in terms of roads and other services, and the second phase was electrical and then the coordination of electrical plus infrastructure with the municipality of George. So we're on the back end of that now, and we anticipate to commence the first top structure towards the end of the first quarter next year. We've also been working very closely with AXA and the Civil Aviation Authority. Given the fact that it's in an airport support zone, there are a couple of requirements that we need to coordinate with AXA, which is not the worst thing in the world, because having that cooperative relationship with a with the airports company is very important for us, because we also get insights into when they're going to be pulling the trigger on the expansion of the George Airport, the passenger terminal, in addition to their cargo terminal.
A last question. We've chatted a lot around power. You have put a lot of time and effort into renewable energy in many of your properties. Some folks are saying, oh, load shedding's over. But the power was, I mean, yes, it was load shedding, but it's bigger than that. It's about renewable energy. It's about getting off grid because Eskom's so incredibly expensive.
No, quite right. I mean, we follow a people, planet, profit approach. We want to place less reliance on fossil fuel generated electricity supply. And that's also one of the reasons why we've, you know, from 2018 to date, we've scaled from a 297 kilowatt peak system at inception to almost 8 megawatt where we stand today. Because the business case, the environmental case is incredibly strong. We haven't gone the battery route for two specific reasons. One, the city of Cape Town operates at two levels below the national load shedding schedule when we do have load shedding. And second is that the city's dispatchable power tender should be operational within the next 12 months, which means that we should be protected between level one and level four. And 93% of our assets are supplied by the city of Cape Town. So we think there's a risk mitigation there without potentially risking abortive costs in terms of batteries. And also, quite right, with the NERSA tariff increases, we can self-generate between 25 and 30% of our own power at a far lower cost, therefore improving the yield, call it between 13 and 18% return on PV solar, which again becomes another asset type investment within the spare portfolio, just from a roof rental perspective or from a CapEx or installment sale perspective.
Yeah, got you on that. And stage four, I mean, I think we can almost put our hand on our heart and say no more stage fours coming. Quinton Rossi, CEO, Spear REIT, always appreciate the early morning. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some quick Friday thoughts. I chatted with Quinn Whitten from Anchor. Was it Tuesday, I think? And we were talking at that point. We were talking ASML and how their sales were okay, but their forward-looking guidance was weak, partly because Intel's just, well, not buying, Samsung less so, of their ultraviolet plants equipment. And I got tweeted or left, right, and center, and folks are saying, oh, they're worried. They think they should sell. The thing is that your long-term investment are going to have short-term blips. Sometimes it'll be big picture, sometimes, you know, such as a pandemic. Other times it'll be situation specific, such as what we're seeing with ASML. But always say to yourself, hang on, is this the end of the road for the investment, or is this a stumble? And in many cases, it's an easy thing to do, which is kind of the zoom out and say, okay, we can see where they are now. Let's roll that 5 years forward. In 5 years, are they still, in the case of ASML, struggling to sell their ultraviolet equipment? Lithograph, I'm trying to say that fancy word. If they are still struggling, well, okay, there's a different story there. But hang on a second. Chips, semiconductors. Our world runs on them. Everything from our fridges to our cars to the fancy NVIDIA AI. Semiconductors are not going away. Surely this is a blip and not the end of the road for the business. That's it for today. We were chatting with Chantal Marx yesterday. We were talking around the Famous Brands results and then touched on Spur. And I asked her if Spur is perhaps better. And she said, a bit of both probably is the right solution. They're different. Spur certainly got no debt. And also Spur a lot more sit down. Famous Brands a lot more QSR, quick service restaurants. We asked you, which is your preferred? Almost a third each said you prefer Spur or Famous Brands. And then around a fifth each said, you know what, agreeing with Chantal, a bit of both. Although some of you, another almost fifth, said thanks, but neither for you. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website to the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday. Hello, Black Friday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.